to Podcast Viewfinder. Thanks for tuning in to this week's Podcast Viewfinder. We look at the world around you, the news, movies, video games, music, TV shows, social media, and commercials to see what worldview they promote. Everything pushes a worldview, and we want to help you find your view.
Crazy is building your ark after the flood has already come. Hey everybody, I'm Chris.
And I'm James.
I'm Luke.
I'm Adrian.
Welcome to Podcast Viewfinder, episode 51.
Dude, that's like 15 backwards.
I was going to say that.
I mean, you do it. Ah! You're so dumb. All right. 51. We're one episode away from doing this podcast for a whole year.
So, actually, we have a plan. We might have a bonus episode.
Maybe. I don't think that's going to work, but what? We might. Okay.
We would like to have a bonus episode for all those people who've been subscribing for a year. You get the bonus episode, maybe.
For free.
Yeah, we won't charge
Normally we charge for this podcast. Not true. But hey, if you are a first-time listener, you can subscribe on iTunes, and you'll get this lovely podcast uploaded every week. You can also send us an email at podcastviewfinder@gmail.com and send us in stuff. So I want to start off this week hearing from our listeners, because some of them have written in and told us articles. Some have called me, because they know me personally.
Some have done both.
So the first one, so last week, James, you weren't here.
But I know, it was
welcome
really
back.
Sad. I missed out on some fun stuff. Right?
So we talked about robots.
Robots. That
was a good episode.
Robot rights.
And
I know.
Ethics, right?
And it was funny, because Adrian, you said the same thing as my friend Bill G said. Yeah, well, robot rights and ethics, but they both were like, oh, robots. They thought it was going to be dumb, but it was actually a good conversation. So Bill G talked, he said there was a video of a table saw that could detect human skin. So if it, like, touched human skin, it would just break the saw. Like, because it can't stop because it would take too long to stop it. So there's, like, a thing that comes in and just, it says, like, if a car's going 1,000 miles an hour and you hit a wall, it's that abrupt of a stop.
I watched it.
It's crazy.
It was pretty.
They practiced with a hot dog and that worked. Because I don't know, hot dog and
that's not human skin.
But have you had a hot dog?
Wait,
it was warmed up, you know, it was a good hot dog.
It can't even tell the difference between hot dog and human skin. This is all terrible.
I know.
I thought they were showing it's cut wood as well.
Yeah, it does.
So clearly it can cut wood.
Well, that's good, I guess, but what if I didn't buy it to cut wood? What if
what are you gonna use?
Human skin?
What are you going to
use? Man, are you kidding me? I bought the wrong saw. You know, like a killer, like, you know.
Yes. Anyways, you psycho. So, but he was saying that with the robot cars, what if they're, so we said last week, okay, there's a scenario of the car can hit 12 kids or it can hit 6 kids and it has to choose because it's a self-driving car, which are actually coming sooner than we might think.
They're here
now.
Google has them.
The prototypes. Yeah. So what's going to happen? What would the car do? And so he said, what if there's something installed like that would just shut the car down immediately, but then you got
what about you?
It's the, yeah. What about the person in
don't
the car?
Don't punish me so for you running out into the street.
Yeah, so
right?
you get whiplash or you fly out of the car.
Well, you have your seatbelt on, assumingly. But
yeah, but if this
hurt.
Is a instantaneous stop.
Ooh, would self-driving cars drive if you don't have your seatbelt on? I bet they wouldn't. That'd be a safety precaution. That'd be cool.
So if you took your seatbelt off,
it's an instant stop.
And you fly out.
I don't. The problem is that's the assuming it can stop instantaneously. It still has momentum.
That's got thrusters.
But this all has momentum.
Yeah, that means it's going to have to push itself back at the same time in order to. It's going to have to change into reverse.
But this all just immediately it's
had
done.
Metal though. And metal stopped it.
But
oh yeah,
this one's tires. These tires are squeal and break.
No, it'd have to actually go backwards.
Oh wait, that's right. I was thinking it was a flying car for some reason.
What?
In my mind, self-driving cars are flying.
No, I'm just saying, if you slam your brakes,
wow,
unless you're going really slow, slamming your brakes, say you're going 30, you're going to skid a little bit.
Yeah.
So you'd have to propel yourself backwards
at
the same
time. So you need something
to
drop in that would latch on to the concrete.
Yeah, now we're getting way too crazy. So it's a good thought, Bill. But
I thought you were about to say it just had the car blow up, and I was just like, "What about the people inside?"
Yeah, because the saw, you touch the saw, it doesn't. The blade doesn't just stop; it like ruins the saw, but it blows up, and the saw blade shoots through your face. Oh!
What if something like immediately just punctured the tires, so they went flat.
But it still have momentum.
then you have no control. You're just skidding out of it.
No, the car has no control.
The tires just shoot off the sides into a busload of nuns.
Oh, or it just launches itself up. It just has like a spring-loaded springs.
It's like the Inspector Gadget car. Yeah. It just like, jumps. Huh. And then hits an airplane.
No,
it wouldn't go that high.
It pushed airbags on the front of the car, so if it hits you, you're okay.
Well, like in the cartoons, the cars have stilts or whatever, and it goes up and it over the person, and then it sits.
Yeah,
let's hope you're not in a tunnel.
Guys, real quick, I think we should go to Google with our ideas before we tell anyone else.
Oh, we shouldn't.
We're losing money with each idea.
Oh, man.
We could sell Google these ideas. Come on.
You're right. Okay.
Google.
Here, another reader wrote in about an article about magic, because we end every episode with the word magic.
Yeah.
Because it started a really long time ago, because the song Black Magic, we were talking about it, and it's a really dumb song. But
it is. It's about black magic.
And it ends with the word magic. The song ends with the word magic, so we just decided to end every episode with the word magic. So she sent an article that says the GOP chairman introduces bill recognizing magic as a national treasure. And we're talking about the illusionists, not like magic, like bibbidi bobbidi boo, and I turn a pumpkin into a
whoa!
Because I can do that.
That is a national treasure.
Cinderella. But, so the lawmakers are like, hey, we could make magic should be considered a rare and valuable art form and national treasure. And this is what the House is doing. Like, these are your elected
federal government.
This is what you guys are paying for with your tax dollars.
Great.
Oh, man. It's not like we've got enough going on in the political realm, but they're like, you know what would be better if we made magic a national treasure?
I think instead they should make Nicolas Cage a national treasure.
I think they need to make Nicolas Cage on a gold coin.
He's in a lot of movies.
I think they need to make National Treasure 3.
Oh, I didn't even get that. I forgot that he was in a movie
called
National Treasure.
Wow, are you serious?
You really forgot that?
We're just talking.
That's why we're talking about this.
You said Nicolas Cage. I thought you really forgot.
I did. I was just thinking Nicolas Cage. He's the best actor in Hollywood right now. Think about all the money he's making from the films. Think about the bees. Oh, that's such a great scene.
The bees. Okay, Nicolas Cage. So national treasure. Should magic be a national treasure? Write us in and let us know what you think.
Write us in.
I think it should be.
Podcastviewfinder.viewfinder.com.
No, podcastviewfinder@gmail.com. You moron. Okay.
And then, you just called the listeners morons.
You, not them. All right, but they're morons too. If you're listening to the show, why? Just kidding. Thanks for listening.
Now we only have one listener left. Down,
and it's not your mom, because I said
one of the two bills.
It's Bill or Bill.
So Bill G told us about the saw that shut down, which is a really cool video. We'll put it in the show notes, because it that guy sticks his finger in a saw, and he forgot to flip the special switch, so it's just blood. And then our Florida foible was sent in by Bill W., and this one is an interesting one. So this guy, a Florida man, tries to buy a BMW with his food stamps. Which, they're not car stamps, but like they're monetary value, right?
Dude, if I had $60,000 worth of food stamps, heck yeah.
$60,000? Is that how much he had?
I don't know.
If you have $60,000 worth of food stamps, something's wrong. Yeah. Either you're starving or you don't need food stamps.
I got a really big family.
They're starving.
$60,000. So with his credit card.
And a BMW costs more than $60,000.
It depends on what type, all right, guys?
A good one, that's like what?
A good one. So you say you wouldn't take a non-good one? A $40,000 BMW? Not good enough for you? Okay.
So the auto dealership wouldn't take it, and he was determined to have the BMW one way or another. So he came back the next day and stole everything. So
stole all the cars.
The next day, the man allegedly broke into the dealership, stole a car, along with the keys to as many as 60 other vehicles.
Wow.
Well, what is he going to do with the keys, though?
What?
Is he just going to sell the keys? He's like, here's a key to a car. I don't have to find it.
Yeah, it's one of those things. Like, you get in the mail, like a little key. You're like, hey, if this...
If that was real, I don't know.
this key fits a car at a car dealership. Now, those are those gimmicks to get you to come to the dealership.
Never. I'm not old enough for that to happen.
Okay.
Plus, I have a terrible credit problem. It'd be a waste of their time. Yeah.
So he didn't get very far because detectives who tracked down the car later found Jackson stalled at an intersection. So he doesn't know how to drive this car.
Wait, he stalled?
Yeah, it must have been a manual.
No, it's because he ran out of gas.
Yeah, and he didn't have any money to refuel because he didn't take gas stamps.
I think gas stations might take food stamps.
For gas?
Yeah. Cents.
Let's find out.
Depends on what state you are, maybe.
He's been charged with Grand Theft Auto and his bail is set at $20,000. Which he's going to use to
he's got the $60,000.
I don't think he had $60,000 worth of food stamps.
Then why'd you bring it up?
Because he's trying to buy it with his credit card and pay off the rest with food stamps.
Oh, the...
He's not paying the whole amount with food stamps, but he's trying to, like,
who pays negotiate. For a car with the credit card? He must this have, guy. Like, an American Express, because those don't have limits, right?
I don't know.
I'm sure you can get.
If you have, like, a triple platinum American Express, no limits.
Well, I don't know. So,
you have to have good credit to get one.
Maybe. But it just...
Why? He just grabbed 60... You know what? I'm just going to grab them. Just in case something happens with this, I'll come back later and get other cars.
Yeah, so he has 60 keys.
And then he'll trade those in.
But they don't know. Like, maybe he hit a couple of them, so later he's going to come back and get more
sure
cars.
They know.
Maybe he pawned them. That's like when...
Sure, they have inventory of their cars.
Nope.
I don't know. I thought we had six cars. No, two.
We're missing something. Wasn't there a car parked in the middle of this room?
No, I guess
not. Did we used to have a window there?
How did they get those cars in there? I've always wondered that. Do they have like a...
They have garage doors.
They have garage doors? Where?
They have big doors.
Magic, it's a national treasure. So, all right, we're going to switch gears a little bit to Tyler Perry's The Passion. Did anybody watch this last night?
I did.
Okay, I watched the last hour of our recording.
Oh, me too. Okay.
All right, you got neither one of the Helm brothers saw
it? I didn't even know it was a thing.
Okay.
Yeah. Shadow and Siblings versus the Helm brothers.
Well, I kept...
Helm brothers win every time.
No, we'll see about that.
We made the Matrix. We wrote it, the first one, Helm brothers.
No, that was the Wachowski. Yeah,
Wachowski. She's funny.
We forgot to talk about that last week.
Yeah, we won't talk about that. Okay, so, but anyways, The Passion, I kept hearing of The Passion. I was thinking they were going to show Mel Gibson's The Passion.
Uh-huh.
And then later I'm like, oh wait, it's Tyler Perry? And it's like modern day Jesus? And telenovela Jesus. And
that's a song.
Telenovela Jesus?
No, modern Jesus.
Oh, yeah, but I'm talking about telenovela Jesus.
Well, you said modern Jesus.
Okay, before. Sorry. Well, you waited to respond.
That's because I was going to let you speak and finish.
All right. So, anyways, so they retold the story. Wait, Adrian, what did you think about it?
Not a good start. Not a good start.
I'm going to go with this. No, I liked the set design. I just thought it had a lot of potential. Like, all the white. It just looked really cool. But then they showed a shot of Jesus on top of the building at the end. And no one could possibly see him because he's so far away on the top of a building. But then they showed a shot of him, like, with his arms out looking down over New Orleans. And I was like, you know what? I've seen that exact same shot in, like, a Hilary Duff movie where she's, like, looking out at this crowd in Rome. And
it's so cheesy.
Yeah.
Like, it just was a little over the top.
I feel like it's not a good start that you have to mention the set design as your favorite part.
That's part of it. So it's a live production. That was the other thing. So it's live, so you have to have a good...
have cool elements, and I liked the glowing white cross that they brought in.
Yeah, so they
that was really
that cool. they carried a cross down Bourbon Street, like, but it, so the timing of it, because a live event you have to have like everything in place, so everything has to work out. And so this is the, because earlier in the year Fox did, or not this year, maybe it was last
Greece.
Year Grease Alive, which apparently Grease Alive had a lot better fan like ratings. A lot more people watched it.
It was Grease. It wasn't very risky. It was very safe.
Yeah.
People love Grease. I like Grease.
People love Jesus. So,
Grease.
But it was more, as you said, it's a modern day Jesus. It's more of a risk.
It is. So, so I read this article. It's from Price Peterson on Yahoo TV. But he was talking about, he's like, who was this for? Because he's like, the Christian audience, you're going to kind of lose them with the risks that you're taking. But he's like, but the secular audience, like, that doesn't believe in Jesus, he's like, this isn't really going to convert them or whatever. And he said, as one of those viewers, like, I didn't, like, it wasn't anything. But I liked it, though. I found, like, I did. I was watching it, like, this is interesting, because they took pop culture songs and, like, gave them different meaning because of the context. So that's what we talked about on the show, about worldview. And so it was like, okay, these songs have meaning. And that's what, like, good art, like, depending on when you, like, how,
yeah,
a good artist leaves it up to the viewer or listener or whatever to interpret it as they would. Like, they write it with an idea in mind, but they don't, like, say, well, this is what my song about, and you have to get that out of it. Like, if you listen to something or watch something or look at a painting, like, you can interpret it differently based on where you are in life and all that stuff. And so it was interesting that they took pop music and kind of gave it a different spin because they put it in a Christian context. Oh, did you?
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think it finally balanced this line of, like, is this cringy? Kind of is. And then there were, like, the cool elements. And
Seal. I feel
like all white.
Like Jesus and a jumpsuit?
Yeah.
Jesus. Yeah, well, okay, that was the other weird thing. So they had, like, pre-recorded segments of the actors, but they were wearing those giant, like, fuzzy microphones like it was a live performance. And so it kind of took it out of the, like, just if it's a pre-recorded segment, you know that, mm-hmm. right? So don't make them wear these weird microphone things.
I didn't know that.
You didn't know what?
That it was pre-recorded.
Ooh. Any of it?
So I you couldn't tell the difference
in the you didn't watch it? Okay, you didn't watch
it. I couldn't tell.
I didn't watch it.
Wow.
You didn't see it.
I'm just giving my point of view. I have a point of view on everything.
Even if I would say it was a fresh of breath air than just like...
A breath of fresh air?
Yeah.
A fresh air.
Okay. Okay, so while we were watching it, it switched to a... you know, they went in the commercial break, and the commercial break was a local commercial of a church doing the Passion. Like, the actual play. And it was like, you know, typical Jesus and... Yeah, set in the right time period and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, you know, it is kind of nice that it's not the same thing every year. You see those every year in and year out, but at least someone big with a big name and a lot of influence.
Yeah, is doing something.
Is doing something creative.
You know what it sounds like this reminds me of? It reminds me of Romeo plus Juliet. Have you ever seen that?
Is it the Leonardo?
Yeah, where they just take the dialogue and they just upend it into... And it fits somehow.
And Shakespeare does that. Okay. He did a lot with Shakespeare.
So the Christianity Today article by Brandon Smith, he wrote that. He said, but the story of Jesus isn't the same as Wizard of Oz or Romeo and Juliet, because the Romeo plus Juliet and then the Wiz is more modern times or whatever. It's not a piece of fiction when generalized undertones that can be molded and retrofitted into the context of 21st century problems. Because he said the context of what Jesus was in, it's like you can't really remove that context because it was so important to... Yeah. His story.
But Romeo and Juliet, you can.
Yeah.
Because it's not like a political commentary. Right. So it's not going to not make sense. It's not like they're talking about the Habsburgs. The Habsburgs aren't around anymore. Yeah. No one knows about that, right. Apparently. See, exactly. It's falling on deaf ears.
Yeah.
Deaf
ears.
There we go. Sorry to all the deaf listeners today. Out there.
But he talked about Jesus buying the Last Supper from a bread truck or whatever, and he said, but it matters.
The hobos.
Yeah, the hobos that were the disciples. But so this guy, so the Brandon Smith, the Christianity Today article, he said, yes, the gospel is for today and every day. It doesn't change. The historical reality of Jesus is a real man who went through the muck and mire of life in a fallen world. Hebrews 4:15. It's possible to look at the struggle in our own life and see how that Jesus identifies with them. It just takes a little creativity. So he didn't like that it was removed from the context of Jesus's. But I don't know. I think it was okay. But this guy, so Price Peterson, the guy from Yahoo, who I don't think he's a believer. But here's what he said. It's kind of a long quote. But he talked about, so the very last song was When the Saints Go Marching In. It was by this gospel singer. And he said, it's obviously a well-tread song, but that doesn't take away the fact that it's legitimately great and wonderful always and forever. You're telling me A song can be joyful and moving and exultant all at once. And it wasn't written by Hoobastank, because there's a Hoobastank song in the thing. Unbelievable. No, but seriously, this brief 2 minutes had a more spiritual effect on me than anything that came before. Sorry, Sexy Jesus. Sorry, Trisha Yearwood. Sorry, Tyler Perry. Sometimes the classics really are better. So he was, it was interesting because, yeah, he's not a believer, but he's saying, hey, the original story has enough merit on its own that you don't need to take it out of context, and you don't need to put these other songs in it and try to twist them to mean something that they maybe didn't mean and all that. So I don't know. I don't know if I agree with him, because when Seal sang "Mad World" as Pilot, it was pretty cool. I liked that. That was my favorite part. Did you like that?
Yeah, but I feel that way. Like, get unconditionally out of there.
Unconditionally. Yeah.
No, because you don't even pronounce it like that in this song. But I agree with this. Like, when I'm in a church service that's, like, really modern, like in a mega church type of thing, but then
aren't
all of a sudden...
Always?
Yeah. But all okay. of a sudden they, like, bring an old hymn back into the set.
Yeah.
I'm moved to tears every single time, no matter what. Because it's like that old roots of Christianity type of thing. So if they would have done this modern setting using those old songs, I think that would have had probably a stronger effect on me personally.
So, pro tip of the day, get some Gregorian hymns and just have some humming. Yeah. And
Adrian will cry.
People will cry, yeah.
Yeah. That Gregorian chants.
And it'd be like, oh yeah, chants, totally. Yeah.
But,
they have no rhythm, that's for sure.
So, but it was also cool that Tyler Perry's up there and he's basically reading scripture, reading like and presents. I mean, he didn't like give people a chance to ask Jesus in their life, but he talked about like Jesus coming back from the dead and how that's a huge part of what he believes and what millions of Christians believe.
I think that might have been a strain on the network, probably. They might have been.
It was Fox. They're Christian, right?
just kidding.
No. But he had to throw some things in there, like. Probably. He had to say those things.
I feel like the network, to me, this sounds crazy that it was on a big network, Fox.
But this is the thing. It's Easter. And people are like more open to it if this had been another time. So this is Easter week. So yeah, Palm Sunday was yesterday and or a couple days ago, depending on when you listen to this. Or maybe weeks ago.
Andy's famous. If it was just any like big church doing that, I don't think they would have showed it.
I did see Michael W. Smith's face in there a couple times. But yeah, but it's Tyler Perry. And he's earned his place in culture to be able to have this voice. He's friends with Oprah. And so, like, so for him to be able to do, I didn't see her, though.
He's
so,
the king. I mean, she's the queen. That's what I meant to say.
So Tyler Perry's the king. But, so for him to have this giant production of The Passion, but he ended, and he said something. I went back and watched the context of it, because he said, it doesn't matter what you believe. We can all agree that loving unconditionally or loving people is a good thing.
Yeah.
And I at first I was like, oh, is he just, that's a cop out or whatever. But as I like went back and looked, he was saying, even if you don't believe this, there's still merit for it, because the story of Jesus is about love, and it is about loving one another and loving people.
Okay, there's something under our door.
Whoa, we got a secret message. Happened? All right, so, I found it interesting that Tyler Perry is kind of like saying, hey, you may not believe this, but like take it into account, because the story of love, like there's something to be said about sacrificial love. Mm-hmm. So I honestly found it really good. I think it'll open up some conversations with people, and I think I thought it was a cool thing. I liked it. It's good.
Good job.
Good. Yeah. Good. Okay. We all saw Zootopia.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did. Yeah,
this is so, why I'm here, to talk about
Zootopia. Spoiler alert, we're going to talk about Zootopia and all its wonderfulness. And so if you haven't seen it yet and you plan on seeing it, we're going to talk about all of it. So,
and possibly Old Chicago.
And maybe, yeah. So, okay. James, you put a quote on here. Do you want to start off with that quote? Or
I put the quote on
there?
Oh, Adrian put the quote on there. I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, whoa.
Adrian, you want to read the quote?
No.
Okay.
What?
It's my argument for James's argument.
Wait, okay. What's the argument?
We don't know what James's argument
is. Yeah, you have no idea. What? She comes in here ready to fight.
God's blazing.
Right. Hold on, what's...
I don't know. First of all, did you like this movie?
Yeah, he pointed towards Luke, by the way. If those of you who can't see. Yeah, I like the movie.
We don't record this. Okay.
What?
We're recording right now, right?
No, we never record this. We record the audio.
Oh, I'm so confused. Okay. Let's just keep
going. All right, keep going. Yeah. So, all right,
what,
sorry.
What's going on here?
So, you like the movie?
I like the movie. I thought it was great. Of course, you know, since I'm a guest of Podcast Viewfinder, I had to think about view, the whole, the what's
the world view.
And I was like, you know what? I like the world view. It's saying, predators aren't going to eat your face. That's what I thought at the end of it.
So I went out after that movie and hugged a lion.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then, that's why I no longer have my right arm.
that's why I'm a robot. All right, James, did you like this movie?
I thought it was a great movie. Really funny. I did enjoy a lot of the humor. Now there's some other things.
You go into my house.
Some,
we're kind of dragging you.
You make me a skunk butt rug.
I don't
know.
It was,
yeah.
Buried my Mr. mom Big in that. Or
what?
Yeah. Buried my mom in that rug.
In that skunk butt rug. Am I allowed to say skunk butt? Just not grown butt.
No, you're not allowed to say.
I can't say. Okay.
Grown man.
Well, let's stay on the. Okay. All right,
so, Adrian, did you like this movie?
I did. Okay. I particularly liked the world building aspect of it.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And I did like the message.
Oh, okay. So, Angela, my wife, my first wife.
Wait, Chris, did you like this movie?
Yes, I did like this movie. I'm good. So, Angela, this was. She said this may be her new favorite Disney movie. Disney Pixar movie. She threw Pixar in there too, and she said this may replace Finding Nemo as her favorite.
Yeah, that's why she was. She's your first.
What? Finding Nemo's fantastic.
And
you've watched it 100 times.
Finding Nemo's
not good. Oh, so good.
Yeah,
anyways,
attacking that movie.
Hey, Finding Dory this summer. All right, so, okay. So there's a lot of worldview in this movie.
Yes.
Actually, yes.
Tons
so
of world,
it's a PG movie, but it's really about accepting people for who they are. Not what you think they should be, or what society has put societal bounds is put on. I don't know what I'm trying to say, because there's the predator and the prey. What you said, Luke?
Like, yeah. The in this movie, for those of you who are still listening and haven't seen it, Zootopia is about this city that has gone through a change where predators and prey don't eat each other. Well, prey don't get eaten. Basically, the predators have become. Not savage. I think they use savage to describe them. They're not savage. They become civilized.
And civilized,
so,
yes.
So they don't eat the prey anymore.
They do talk about evolution, like how they're...
They talk about their biology, though. They're like, oh, predators, it's in their biology.
Yes.
They'll eat them. So that's what it's about. It's about predators and prey living together. And what's really interesting is the lion and the lamb that you see.
The lion and the
you have the lion as the mayor, the mayor, and you have
the lamb.
Or I don't like the lamb. I thought she's dumb.
Actually, not that dumb.
Well, she was.
She's the assistant to the mayor.
She's the assistant to the mayor.
But okay, so the other thing that they did, but the reason she was the assistant to the mayor is because it was like this initiative to kind of show that predator and prey can work closely together and all that stuff. But she was really just a symbol.
No, that was the bunny.
No, it was her.
It was the lamb. She said
the lion got her because he wanted the lamb vote.
Oh, yeah, he wanted the lamb vote.
Yeah, and so you're like, oh, it's the assistant mayor. And then at one point she's like, oh, you have a lot of power. She's like, no, I don't. I just follow him around and get his coffee and carry his papers.
Basically like a glorified secretary.
Yeah, and so it shows the breakdown that like even though they were trying to show that this was this great thing, it really, behind the scenes, it wasn't. And Judy Hopps, the main character, the rabbit, she's like, and Amy like thinks that Zootopia is the perfect place, and she gets there and finds like, oh, there's still corruption, and there's still crime, and there's still...
That's in the name.
Zootopia.
Zootopia. Well, it'll be Utopia. It's a Zootopia. What I thought was interesting immediately as well is that the lion was the mayor. The king of the jungle is the lion. The king of all animals is the lion. So I'm like, what? That's like another prejudice. And you notice, like, if the police station had only larger animals, and they tended to be predators, because predators tend to be larger and more fierce. While you had the
rhinoceros,
you had the elephant in the room. Let's address the elephant in the room. Happy birthday!
Wait, what's wrong with that, though?
I was just saying, it's like it's.
At
one end,
attacks.
It's like the police, the bunny becoming a police officer is excellent because it's like...
A bunny's never become a police officer.
Yeah, exactly.
She's the first one. Judy Hopps, like, good job.
What can she do? What is she going to be able to do to a polar bear? Polar bears are the largest bear in the wild, by the way.
They're also the dumbest bear in the jungle.
Yeah, stop making that joke. It is worse than James's switching the number jokes.
That's a great joke. What's the dumbest animal in the jungle? The polar bear.
Why?
I love that joke. Because they don't belong to
the jungle. Yeah, but immediately you can already tell, like, as soon as you get to the police station scene, after when she's training, it's like, you already know that it's not perfect. There's already biases because you just look at it. You have the large animals being in charge of the police station, basically, because they're large.
Oh, yeah.
And then you have the fat cheetah. That was weird.
All right, so, James, you what we talked about, you had a little bit of a problem with this movie. You thought the worldview that it pushed was more of acceptance of everybody because, like, it doesn't matter what they've done. It doesn't matter if they're messing up. Just accept them.
Yes.
Is that what you...
I mean,
sorry, go ahead.
Yeah,
okay.
No. So I'm trying to think back. Yeah, it did. It pushed a big... I want to say humanism, but they're animals. So, but we can do anything.
Animism is a religion.
And so, it's not... I don't have a problem with us thinking we can do anything. It's... The problem comes when we, like, overstep certain boundaries, I guess. So you're, like, you're a... conservative person, James.
So, well, like the nudist colony scene.
Yeah.
So they're like, okay, these people don't wear, like, these animals don't wear clothes.
But it's all right.
Yeah. You do that
basically
over here.
Everybody
where I don't
has
have to
their
be bothered by
place.
It. Yes.
Everything has its place. Anything's permissible. It's all okay. And so it was just like, well, no, I don't believe everything's permissible. And so I don't believe, because this will get. And this is why Disney movies are so good, is because young movies like this do push your worldview, and you don't even see it, but you get accustomed to it enough where it becomes okay, and you didn't realize it was pushing that.
I have to disagree when you say everything's permissible, because clearly they have a police force that stops things from happening, such as parking violations. If everything was permissible,
but even that, I mean, it's like, oh, you're gonna give me a ticket, really?
Yeah, but they
deserve
real
life, though.
Yeah, I know.
Really, come on, man.
I mean, I've never got a parking violation.
I mean, you feel bad for the person, so you're
yeah,
like,
but
maybe
she
you
didn't
because
she's a cold-hearted bunny. Also, you are ignoring the fact that she didn't get special treatment in the training. She had to overcome the obstacles, and
she was
proving a point.
She was not given any leeway just because she was a bunny. She had to go through the same tests and tribulations. Is that a word?
Yep.
Yes,
that all the other animals did. And she overcame that. So it's not because she was the bunny that she was accepted. It was because she was capable of what they were looking for.
Yeah.
That's like women in the military.
The lion, he ended up... Okay, can we do... Are we
doing spoilers? Yeah, spoilers.
Okay.
Spoilers.
If you're still listening... If you have not seen this, go do something else for 10 minutes.
He ends up... kind of not being the bad guy, but he still makes the mistake of, like, covering it up. He doesn't really know what's happening.
He had
all the wrong things for the right reasons.
Right, and they still put, like, he's still not okay with it. Like, he still gets in trouble at the end type of thing. Like, they still show him, I think, in jail or make him look like a loser, too. So it's not like, well, he did this for the right reasons. It's okay. Like, not everything.
Oh, I don't think it pushes that sort of view. I don't think it pushes quote unquote wrong things to do. But it opens up the more. It's just trying to say, hey, there's a lot of diversity. We just need to be more accepting.
Yes.
Yes.
Of which you're like, that's a great message.
Yeah.
And I think diversity is great and all that. But when it comes to certain issues, that's when I start to disagree.
Yes. So, because there are things that are right and wrong.
Yeah.
So, it's not necessarily arguing against that there's right and wrong things, because they have the police force and they have all that stuff. But there are things that we would say, oh, I don't agree with this, but society says it's okay. And so, it was almost like, if I don't accept it, then I'm the bad person. If I don't accept this person's beliefs or worldview, then I'm at fault. Right? Is that...
Yeah.
Okay.
That's
what do you think it pushed that, though, Adrian?
Like, if I don't accept it?
Yeah. So if you don't accept... Okay, so I'm thinking about the part where the Judy Hopps gets up and they're like, so the animals are going savage or whatever.
Yeah.
And she figures out, okay, the mayor's trying to cover it up, all this stuff. So then
I'm the mayor's assistant. Oh wait, the mayor's the mayor assistant was actually doing it. That's what. It
oh,
oh, spoiler!
We already said. We already said spoiler.
If you're still listening, sorry.
No, we told them. So, but she gets up and gives a speech and was like, "No, predators, they're reverting back to their predatory ways. They're doing all this stuff. They're going savage." And she's like, "We think it might be part of their biology, whatever." And then her fox friend, who's a predator, gets mad at her. And he's like, well, I'm considered part of them. And she's like, no, I didn't mean it like that. Like, you're not like them. And he's like, oh, there's
you're different.
You're different. And he's like, oh, there's a them now. So it kind of, it created that tension of they didn't agree on something, but he, instead of like listening to her point of view, he gets mad and just walks away from it and says, well, you're wrong. And I should have trusted you.
She clearly was saying things that just didn't make sense.
Well, she jumped to conclusions based on how she was raised or her preconceived notions.
Yes.
And so that was the fault. And she apologizes for that later.
And yeah.
Well, if she says,
so
hey.
I don't think it's pushing, like, I don't know what.
she's like, hey, predators are going savage. She's basically saying all that. And she didn't make any, she created fear of predators.
Okay.
Essentially. And he was a predator, and she didn't think about him really at all. She didn't really think about that.
Yeah.
And then when he confronted her, that's when she really started thinking, and she tried to shift the blame onto him. That's what I think it was. She's like, oh, it's not like that. You're not understanding what I'm saying. But he's like, I understand what you're saying very clear. I am clearly not part of the solution, so he might as well leave.
Okay, so what do you do when somebody's worldview and your worldview doesn't line up and you don't agree with them? I mean, yes, you should
fight.
You punch them in the face.
You fight to the death. You go, like, this is combat.
Love wins. No, but you, like, we love the person. But if we don't agree, that doesn't mean I don't like you. And that's what I think, like, that's where it seems like on this movie is like, no, you have to be okay with what I'm doing. Even if it's wrong, even if you don't agree with it, you have to be okay with it. That's where the line gets a little iffy for me. And I think that's where...
Where it really hit point, because he was just born as a predator. He had no choice as being a predator.
Right.
Yeah.
So he's like, essentially, who I am by nature is wrong. And I've done nothing. I've not made a choice, because he can't choose not to be a predator. See, I tie this back to civil rights movements of the 60s and 70s. These people were... It's not like you can be like, oh, I'm going to check the box black or white before you're born. Because I've never done that. But so he didn't get to choose... they didn't get to choose being black, and people treated them harshly.
Yeah.
If someone's like, oh, I'm your friend, but you can't eat with me, a white guy is like, oh, you're my friend, but you can't sit on the same bus. And then you're going to be like, well, why not?
Yeah.
And so that's where I came from. He was born a predator, and he can't change that. And she's basically calling out something that he had no choice over. It's not like, it's like, oh, your worldview is wrong and you can change it. It's who he is.
Right.
Yeah, I thought it was pushing more of a racism envelope than worldview.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's talk about the gay agenda, because that's what
James
said. She said racism.
She said racism.
That's what you brought up.
Yeah, so I'm bringing it up now because the racism thing, yes, it's still prevalent in our society, unfortunately, but it's not. Well, I mean, like the buses and restaurants, and you can't drink from the same water fountain and go to the same schools. That doesn't go on as much. It's more,
or at all. Let's say at all.
Yeah. Okay. That doesn't go on. They can't get Oscars. but
that's not water. They don't need
it. Right. But that, like, the whole racism issue has come back up with the Oscars and different things. The police shootings and different stuff that people are like. Oh well, it's a racist thing. Like, that's always the. Like Black Lives Matter, all that stuff that's been thrown around recently, but from the gay rights movement is something that's kind of where you could see how this fits into that worldview.
Yes,
some James.
Absolutely. Well, the opening sequence, the
there's one of the characters in the play comes out with like a rainbow hat on, and it's like da 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 da, everything's perfect, and like biology and evolution are happening in this play that they show. It's like, okay, there's a little bit. They didn't like come right out and say it, but you can read into it because it's a symbol and things are known by a symbol. I don't.
But what was that opening scene talking about?
I was talking about they used to be savage and they used to fight in blood and gore. And now it's like, hey, we're friends and we get along and we've and overcome. Peace.
I thought it was just peace setting up love.
Because what does the rainbow represent in the Bible?
Well, the rainbow represents God's wrath being turned away and peace and promise and peace. Yeah, and love. And so, but that's
what does it mean in Irish? It means pot of gold.
Nowadays, I think you have to take
It. St. Patrick's Day was last week. St. Patrick's Day.
You can't take it for what it used to be. Because you'd be like, oh, well, the rainbow is the symbol of the Bible. That's true. No, it is.
I think Disney's trying to bring the rainbow back as the symbol that God intended it.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. Okay.
I don't even know what the
I don't think it mattered that much, to be honest.
That was there. No, you got to look for the little things. Because this will affect. And so there's another one. I think this one's a big one that I found. Was when they went into the popsicle store. Now, you could take this a couple different ways, but I know there have been recent headlines and even laws people are trying to pass where it's you're a cake baker.
Yes.
You can choose if you want to serve this at maybe there's a same-sex wedding. You can choose not to serve them the cake, like make their cake.
Okay.
So you can refuse. And so on the sign of this little big popsicle place, ice cream shop for elephants, they say, we have the right to refuse service.
To anybody, yeah.
To anybody. Yeah, and so I took it as more towards that leaning than any other, because that's not as relevant. It might have been relevant back 50 years ago, but you won't find me saying, hey, I'm not going to serve you because of your skin color. That doesn't happen very much today.
Right.
And it's very...
What?
Well, I just didn't want to be interrupted.
All right, go for it.
Okay, I'm going to have to interrupt you for multiple reasons. One, you gotta remember before you watch a movie or read a story about what you are interpreting, what you are putting on it.
Yes.
Yeah. Everyone has a worldview.
Yes.
You bring your worldview. You bring your worldview to it. You can't.
Someone has like a contra worldview where they're like, "What are they trying to sell me?" Because you might be cynical and be like, "Ah, this is what they're trying to tell me," but it's not exactly. You interpret. You imprint what you see, like a not. Like Chris was talking about art.
I project it onto the movie.
You project it. Like, not all art is the same for everyone. So it might be different. And that's one thing. So that's where I just can't see it the way you're seeing it. Because, one, he was rejecting a fox. And what are foxes known for? They're known for being sly, cunning. And he's like, what is this fox up to? Why does this fox want a giant popsicle made specifically for large animals.
Exactly. Cakes.
Something sneaky.
Yeah. So
but you don't know that. You're assuming that he's going to do something sneaky based on
the fox, the speciesism, as you might call it in this sentence.
Yeah.
Or in this world. The elephant was, I just can't, I think it's a stretch. What you're doing. Yes, it's relevant that they can refuse service to anyone, but I think it's a stretch.
The most, I have more examples of recent being.
Yeah, I understand that. But
and I think that would be more culturally relevant, which I think this movie does a really good job of being culturally.
But I feel like you're projecting too much. If you just, without projecting and you just break down the scene without trying to bring cultural relevance into it, it's not as.
Yes.
To me, it just doesn't feel like the relevance is there because it is a fox. It is an elephant. It's species. The elephant is clearly specious against the fox because he's not letting him go. So it's more or less he looks down on the elephant. Of course, you'd be like, well.
You mean he looks down on the fox?
Well, but both. Of course.
There's this other thing, too, of like you maybe would like the choice to not serve somebody a wedding cake.
Yes.
If you didn't. Okay. There's Divorces. Getting a super big line here, a gray line for even Christians because. I think I would choose to serve somebody a wedding cake.
Yeah, well, okay.
So we had a big debate. We did this. I said I would choose to have it, and not saying I'd really start a business, but if I was going to follow the Bible to the T, then mine would be like super. You'd be like, man, you're a really strict baker, and I'm like, well,
yeah,
it's like
you make one wedding cake a year,
maybe. But because I'm
leavened.
But here's the thing, and this goes with I think Luke will agree. I am sticking to my values. I'm not being a hypocrite and saying, well, I will serve this person this cake even though it's against the Bible, and I won't serve you, and it's against the Bible. No, I won't serve anybody if it's against the Bible.
Okay, well, so you're not going to serve anybody.
Well, I want to...
Because everybody does stuff against the Bible.
Have you heard of the book Unoffendable by Brant Hansen?
No.
So, oh. it's about Christians, how we should be unoffendable, and it has lots of stories of, like, people, Christians loving people and showing, like, one of the... Christians yeah. in there had, and they held an art show at this venue every year for like gay and lesbian or whatever. So this Christian bought it out and turned it into a coffee shop, and he invited that community back to have their art show there still. And they were like, no, because you're a Christian and you don't want to push this. And he was like, no, I'll actually provide the wine and the chocolate covered strawberries and everything.
Whoa, he served alcohol?
Yeah.
I thought it worked.
And they formed a really close, he formed a really close relationship and is like really good friends. Anyway, so there's a quote from the book that I brought with me. It says, yes, the world is broken, but don't be offended by it. Instead, thank God that he intervened in it and he's going to restore it to be everything it was meant to be. His kingdom is breaking through bit by bit. So recognize it and wonder at it.
Ooh, yeah, I would say I agree with that completely.
So,
but,
like, I don't know if you should necessarily be like, I'm offended by the fact that he's not serving a popsicle because
or the worldview. Like,
you know, he's being mean. He's not serving this little guy a popsicle. He's being mean. You know, like that's kind of how I see it.
So what?
I don't think you should be like, oh, the worldview they're pushing, like, ah, I'm offended by that. That's another thing. It's like, how are you going to, you mentioned, James went on a trip of some sort, I can't remember.
Yes,
he went to a college site and he said to me, Muslims are the hardest to, what was it exactly?
Reach.
And I was like, well, what if Christians were the hardest to reach as well?
We kept on correcting this because they're like, well, you know what, atheists, they're pretty hard to reach.
The reason you said reach, like, you mean to talk about, like, to get them to change their worldview.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm sure I can correct this. I just found it hard because they believe in Jesus. They don't believe he's the same character as you and I, though.
Right.
It's very hard for them to jump from he's a prophet to he's God.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, he's very good, very good. But he came for a season.
Wow, that was...
Oh, my gosh.
We might have... Can I go back to my point real quick? I just wanted to finish my point. Gosh, I can't think about it anymore because of what you just said. James isn't racist.
I know.
No, that's like,
not racist. That was religion.
I know what you, the accent you did. Okay, go ahead. Okay.
I don't know what you're talking about.
So I was just like, how are you going to, but what I'm trying to say is like, how are you going to reach people if you basically tell them up front, your worldview is awful. I'm not even going to listen to it. You know, how is the Muslim going to be like, okay, if you tell me your worldview, can I tell you mine? And you're like, no. Not going to do it. Because you're so offended by that worldview. How are you going to reach them if you're offended by anything that doesn't view the world the same as you?
Yeah, I don't think he's saying
I'm,
that.
I'm not saying that. Yeah. I listen to that guy more than I talk. Just, I talked like two sentences, and then that guy talked for like 20 minutes.
3 years. He's still talking.
Yeah, he's great.
As a Christian, how do we react to this movie? So you're like...
I like this movie.
But you found like the two weird things.
Oh, there's more to it.
And more.
I could go through the whole thing.
But then you're like, as a Christian, if somebody asks you if you like this movie, and you respond in that way, if I'm not a Christian, I'm going to be like, okay, you're a weirdo. But
no, I'm not going to explain to them that. I explain to people who know me, and I'd be like, hey, like, I would be cautious. Because that's, as a parent, you go into these movies, and you're like, what's it put, like, how did we get to where we're at? It's not like it was a snap in the moment and now we're here in culture. It's a gradual thing. Like, oh, hey, we're going to show more skin on TV. And it's going to get a little bit gradual. But it's because people didn't push back or they didn't filter. And now you got half-naked people on every show. It's PG. And all these bad things. And these worldviews are pushed and it's acceptable because...
It started with Zootopia.
No, there are PG movies that had... naked people, so it's not like PG's.
It was 80s PG. It was
Like, well, I want to go back, James. What else?
Wait,
what else bothered you? I just want to know because
I have to go through and rewatch the movie. This is
going too long. Yeah,
you're acting like I don't like the movie. I think it's probably been one of the best animated movies I've seen in a long time.
Behind Berserk.
But I'm just cautious with some of the messages because I'm like, oh, it's great. Like, it's talking about acceptability. I like that. It's talking about, she overcomes major obstacles. I think that's awesome, too, because she's a bunny. She's the first bunny cop.
And she's a female. And yeah. They say, like, oh, you should stay home and be a farmer.
But I also look at, even in the last scene, what did they allude to?
The fox and bunny.
Getting together. And you're like, okay, that's no big deal when we see it animated. But what, think about it.
No, too far.
I still have to go back to
You don't think you're going to see the fox and the bunny like together?
Get married? I feel like there's just too much imprinting of what you want to see. Because again, how can I come out of the same movie and not come to the conclusions that you're coming to? My conclusions are completely different.
Because worldview.
You're a different person.
Yeah, everybody goes into
So if I'm like, hey, this is clearly, no, I'm saying, what you're saying, I did not see any of that. Like, I'd say, hey, watch this. What I saw, everyone should watch. Like, the worldview, well, I liked it. But you're like, oh, there's some things that I noticed.
Yeah.
I'm like, I didn't. Even when I look back at those, they still don't, they're not conclusive. So how are you getting to a different conclusion than me?
As a child, you're going to come out of that movie and be like, I can be whoever I want to be. Like, I can be a cop or whatever.
And we're going to have to be like, no.
I can be.
I know.
We're going to have to crush the harsh reality.
Okay, wait. Let's because this is the quote that Adrian put down from Judy Hopps. You told me. It's a little bit long, but it's good. I thought this city would be a perfect place where everyone got along and anyone could be anything. Turns out life's a little bit more complicated than a slogan on a bumper sticker. Real life is messy. We all have limitations. We all make mistakes, which means, hey, glass half full, we all have a lot in common. And the more we try to understand one another, the more exceptional each of us will be. But we have to try. So no matter what kind of person you are, I implore you, try. Try to make the world a better place. Look inside yourself and recognize that change starts with you.
That's amazing. Is that Gandhi?
That's Judy Hopps.
That's Officer Judy Hopps. Bunny at law.
Be the change you want to see. Sorry, that's Gandhi. Be the change you
want
to see.
No, I thought that's dressed for the job you want.
That was Lincoln.
That was
I didn't know.
Because that's why I go to dress as a hobo. My dream job is unemployment.
To train hop across the Midwest with a can of soup.
Oh, the and train. The train design I loved, by the way, in Zootopia. Which is... And with the giraffe, it was funny because then it had like the lower level, and then it had the lower level.
Little mice.
Can I finish this little segment of Zootopia with a Bible verse?
Yeah, ooh.
Just for James.
Oh, just for James.
Wait, is this from Zootopia?
Okay. Is this really from the Bible?
It is from Zootopia and the Bible. Isaiah 11, verse 6. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the goat. And the calf and a lion and the fatted calf together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox.
Okay.
Oh.
So what does that mean?
Then
so
he goes on and says, they shall not hurt Zootopia. Or destroy, and all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the water covers the sea. It also says in this segment that they will... not judge by what they see or decide disputes by what their ears hear.
What does that mean? They will what?
Not judge.
Not judge by what his eyes see or decide disputes by what his ears see or hear. Because they're delighting in the fear of them.
So, all right. Even if you both got something, or we all got something different from this movie, what James said, and this is why we do this show, because there are things that maybe... the world pushes into things or that are little subtle things. And maybe they meant that and maybe they didn't, but James and other people could take that the same way and be like, oh, okay, well, I think it means this. And so that's like why we want you to be cautious about what you see. Because even a simple little PG Disney movie, it does push a worldview. Everything pushes a worldview. And so that's why we want you to be cautious about what you watch and to think about it and not just be like, oh, that was a funny movie. I enjoyed it. But, like, what is it really saying? Why did they make it? They're all pushing something. And so that's, I don't know. Thanks. This is a good discussion. Yes.
Well, just be careful with the implicit is what I have to say. Because you can, the explicit is what they're saying in the movie. So you can break that down. You're like, this is exactly what they're saying. And then the implicit is like...
what you imply.
What you imply and what you project. And so... yes, they could be implicitly... they could be saying something implicitly, but...
We're back at almost an hour. So
we
didn't talk about Cloverfield.
Cloverfield.
Look, you have 1 week to watch Cloverfield. Okay. Hey, if you're a listener, listen to Cloverfield. Listen to Cloverfield. Go watch 10 Cloverfield Lane this week. We're going to talk about it next week.
Wait, are you endorsing?
You're just endorsing that?
Yep.
Yeah.
What is it rated?
PG-13.
Okay, so if you're older than 13 and you have parental guidance.
Yes, if you're younger than 13. But no, there's a few bad words in the movie, a little bit of violence, but it's good.
It does have John Goodman, right?
Man, that guy.
He's a national treasure.
John Goodman is a national treasure.
Didn't he die in Roseanne?
I don't know.
And then it was like, the ending, it was like...
Spoiler alert, somebody could be watching Roseanne on Netflix. Okay. And, next week, I'm going to talk about superhero movies next week, because... oh, are we going to see Batman vs. Superman for next week? I don't know. Okay.
I am.
We'll see.
It's going to be great.
All right, because...
good versus evil.
Yeah, there's definitely...
Captain America's in it, right?
All superhero movies have the same dilemma, and we'll talk about that next week, maybe. Write that down. I don't remember.
Well, the battle between good and evil. So there has to be a right and a wrong.
Well, battle of good and evil, but it's always like, should I kill people or should I not kill people? And...
it's still right and
can
wrong.
I...
is this right?
The message
wrong?
Of Cloverfield is that there's not a right.
Can I keep doing?
I disagree.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
But, I think there's definitely a mess up.
Stop spoiling.
You go into this saying this is wrong. Otherwise, it's a battle of power.
That's why I like the StarCraft storyline, because it's not about.
Okay. All right, that'll get out here.
You guys don't like StarCraft? What's wrong with you?
I like StarCraft.
I'm James.
Okay, StarCraft's not. It's a video game. Okay, all right. Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to the Podcast Viewfinder. This is episode 51. I'm Chris.
And I'm James.
I'm Luke.
I'm Adrian.
And we will see you next time on our year anniversary episode.
Episode 25.
Maybe the bonus episode.
Episode 50 dose. All right. See you later. Magic. A national treasure.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's Podcast Viewfinder. Just because we talk about a game, movie, book, show, or celebrity does not mean we endorse them or the product. So we want you to use discernment about what you take in. So look it up before you consume, and see you next time. Podcast Media Viewfinder.